should be a great success for the Jewish people. You know, right now, the terrorists are what I consider to be like a new low. You know, I know some people aren't like impressed by this, but like, you know, they're currently, you know, barricaded themselves in the maternity ward of Shifa Hospital. So that to me is like, you know, I guess you get used to anything. So the idea of them using the hospital in general, so like, you know, I've already been acclimated to that through years of their, of their barbarism. But I think the maternity ward is still like a new madriga to me. So the fact that they use the maternity ward, and I feel like it deserves special mention, not to the exclusion of the emergency room. And I came home from shul, Chaya told me that they found, quite a few weapons actually inside the MRI machine. So, you know, that's also a good place to store weaponry. But I felt like the maternity ward deserves special mention. One day, it's like, you know, as we approach the Pesach season, you know, Laman Tisaper B'Oz Nevincha Uven Mincha, that you have to tell your children, your grandchildren, we could say that, you know, this actually happened the same day as the United Nations, sanctioned Israel and called for immediate ceasefire. So we can say that it's actually possible for these two things to happen on the same exact day, which, you know, you can't even make it up. So, the Rav wrote in 1956, you know, it was only, you know, basically less than a decade after the United Nations had been founded. It was like, it's amazing. It's almost like words of Nevuah. He was talking about, and this isn't called Odido fake, that it seemed to him that the only reason that the United Nations was brought into existence was to vote for the partition plan, to recognize the principle. And that was only like 10 years into this. So now here we are, you know, so many years later, over 60, you know, years later, you know, it's quite extraordinary how well that has withstood the test of time. You know, they've done nothing good, and a lot of harm. And so today is a day where the Jewish people could use the zechuyos of our learning, and we'll try the best we can to make it meritorious. So I had sort of gotten to this halfway point in the Perek, Perek Zion, and requested a reprieve of sorts from all the good people here. And I wanted to, even though this time is normally reserved for Pesach, to be able to focus a little bit on the second half of the Perek and to talk a little bit about what I think is so significant about this Perek, where Elisha is able to end the famine and sort of calling back the ghosts of Eliyahu in terms of the drought. But I will do my best here to integrate some, Pesach elements, because I want to, first of all, I think it's there, and also I think it's good policy. So there will be a little bit of that as well. It's great to see my sister just popped on. Always good to see Elisheva, and there's Nomi is coming in as well. Okay, so let me just share my screen. We'll go back a little bit in review, and then we'll be on the road. So as you remember, there's this really horrible famine. And the last scene that we had was Yehoram, the king of Israel, having to adjudicate, not between two women, you know, like sort of fighting over the baby as King Shlomo did, but this horrible situation. The graphic details I'll spare you again, but, you know, involving the famine and, consumption of those children. And it was an utterly desperate situation. And Elisha, and this is the last piece that we had seen, promises that literally by the very next day, so not more than 24 hours later, that there's going to be this extreme abundance of food. So, Vayomer Elisha, Shemudvar Adonai, Komar Adonai, Ka'es Machar, Se'ah Solas B'Shekel, V'Sasayim, Se'orim B'Shekel, B'Sha'ar Shomron, so that there will be such, supply that the demand will go down. Again, here we're talking about a situation where people are literally starving to death, that there will, be normal prices. Vayan hashalish, and so the officer who was there, Asher lamelech nishana yado, who the king had relied upon, as Esi shalokim vayomar, and he said, Hinei Hashem osa rubos bashamayim, even if God was doing an airlift, we've heard a lot about airlifts lately, so even if there was an airdrop from heaven of like all of the supply in the world, Hayya davar hazeh, he doesn't even think that God could airlift that much in 24 hours into Shomron. Vayomer hincha roeh beinecha u'misham lo sochel. So Elisha says, it's going to happen and you're not going to be able to benefit at all from it. In fact, you're going to end up in a, you know, not in a position to benefit, let's say. Okay, so now we have, this is actually a Haftorah that we read for Tezriya and Mitzorah every year. So, V'arabana Hashim hayu Mitzorayim Pesach Hashar, V'yomru Yishal Re'ehu Ma'anachnu Yoshim Po'ad Masnu. So there were four individuals who were sitting, and the Sha'ar is going to be a very important place in this parak. And so one says to the next, Yishal Re'ehu, right? What are we doing here, starving to death? Okay, so any thoughts about Mitzorayim? Who would, if you're thinking in terms of who would this possibly be? What do we know about the Mitzorayim in Sefer Melachim?
They had nothing to lose.
That's for sure. Right? You're getting into that sort of nothing to lose zone for everybody. So the Mitzorayim, who can't even be in the city, like for sure, like they're in the nothing to lose category, super nothing to lose.
The king of Aram, I think, right?
So his, very good. So his deputy, Naaman, was one of the Mitzorayim, but he's been healed.
Right.
What about Gehazi?
Ooh, that must have been Ruthie. One second. Was that Ruthie? I'm looking.
Well, I'm sorry, my video's off.
Oh, yeah, I didn't even see you. I would have said hi. Okay, no better way than to say hi than to say nice. So that's what the Gemara thinks. Gehazi u'shloshes banav. Right, so that was the curse of Gehazi. So as Ruthie is reminding us, when Gehazi tried the good old-fashioned shakedown of Naaman, he went after his money, so the curse that was given to him by Elisha was that the tzara'as of Naaman would be misdabik bo uvizaro. So that is what the Gemara says. Ruthie, well done. The Gemara in Sanhedrin of Zion, Arbam Anashim Hayum Mitzorayim, Pesach Hashar, Rabbi Yochanan Gehazi, Ushlosh Shabanav. So I'm going to try to argue tonight that there's actually a measure of redemption in this perek for Gehazi. A measure. Maybe a half measure, but a measure. Something goes right. And that's the secondary motif that I want to get to. So Imam Arnu, so they, Sam, to your point, so they started like, you know, reasoning this out. Navo ha'ir v'arav bo'ir v'master. So if we try to sneak our way back into the city, where they won't have us, because the din is that a mitzora has to be sent out of the city, and ir mukafas choma can't be in Ir Mukaf Eschoma, we just had Purim, Shushan Purim today, so that's the halacha, and Ir Mukaf Choma has a special din of Kedusha, Batei Choma, so they're not really supposed to be in there, but if we could sneak back in there, maybe in the chaos, but we'll just die of starvation. V'im Yashavnu Po V'manu, and if we just preserve the status quo, we're going to die. So V'yata L'chu V'nipla Al-Machane Aram, Mimi Chayunu Nichyav, Mimi Sunu V'masnu. So they say what seems like the most dangerous thing to do is probably the only rational course of action. Let's go into the camp of Aram, because there's at least a chance that, who knows, maybe they'll allow us to live. Maybe not a very great chance, but we'll die of starvation here. We'll die of starvation in the city. So if door one and door two are certain death, so there's at least a suffix. There's at least a chance that we could survive if we kind of, you know, go to the Machane Aram. Now, again, I don't think the chances were very high. I don't think they thought the chances were very high. I don't think, like, the king of Aram and the Machane Aram in general is looking for, you know, lepers, Jewish lepers. I don't think that's, like, you know, so much on their, you know, wish list, you know. But who knows? You know, anything can happen. Maybe somebody's having a good day. Maybe somebody wants to, I don't know. They say Naaman was healed of tzaras. Let's see if we can dip these guys into the Arden and see what happens. Anything is possible. But, you know, the pasuk in Eicha says, Tovim hayu chalei cherev michalei rav. It's better to die by the sword than to die of starvation. So, you know, they figure at least it'll be over sooner. There's all kinds of calculations that a person can make in such dire situations. You know, the going to Palm Beach is not one of the options. So when you're facing starvation here, starvation in the city, or, you know, going to the, you know, Machane Aram and like, you know, pleading for, you know, for asylum, for leper asylum, you know, whatever it is you're pleading for. So there's a chance. That's what they reason. And we can understand it at that, you know, most basic level of calculus. So by Akuma Vanashaf, in the evening, Lavo Machane Aram, Bayavo, Tse Machane Aram, Vinein Shamish. Very strange, there's nobody there. Okay, so, you know, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people, now there's nobody there. Okay. So, Vadonai Yishmias Machane Aram, now the Navi fills us in. Kol Rechav Kol Sos, Kol Chayil Gadol, Vayomer Yishal Achiv, Hinei Sachar Alein Melech Yisrael as Malchi Achritim, Ves Malchi Mitzrayim Lavo Alein. So the Navi now explains why it is that there is nobody there. So in the meanwhile, God had created this auditory phenomenon, this kind of hallucination, that everybody in Aram, there many, many, many thousands of soldiers had, of the sound of chariots and horses coming, of a massive army, and they all concluded that the king of Israel had hired mercenaries from Mitzrayim and from the Chiti to destroy them. They all ran for their lives. They got a little bit closer. And then they got into the, you know, tent. They do it in a second tent. So, you know, they start to really go at it, you know, eating and drinking and sort of gorging themselves on everything they find in each tent and, you know, burying gold and silver and clothes. Okay, so let's pause here for a second. First of all, let's talk about what happened to Aram, and then let's talk about the reaction of the Mitzrayim. So what happened to Aram? So they have this delusion, hallucination, and they imagine that there's, you know, a great army coming to destroy them, and they head for the hills. What about our history, what we've seen with Aram, makes this so interesting? What was the previous encounter we had with the Machane Aram before this war? Remember, they come to try to, you know, take Elisha, and there are all these raiding parties that are coming in, and Elisha keeps on telling the king of Shomron exactly where the raiding parties are going to be, and they're getting really, really angry about it, so they're trying to neutralize Elisha or get him out of Israel or something like that. And what does Elisha cause to happen to them?
Sanbeirim.
Right, exactly, Naomi. So Ikuba Sanbeirim, so Elisha has their sight taken. They can no longer see. So here we have like more of this sensory manipulation. Previously we saw that their sight was taken from them. And then remember their sight is restored. They find themselves in the capital city, and Elisha tells the king of Shomron not to do anything to them, send them home. So instead of now sensory deprivation of sorts, having their sights taken from them, now they're having a different kind of experience where they're being made to hear things that don't exist. It's a certain kind of divine dominion over their experience of the world. It's continuity. Okay, that's on the one end. Second point, what do they hear? And you could sort of, if you were making a subtitle of Sefer Melachim, in particular Melachim Bet, you might make this the subtitle. What do they hear in particular? What's the sound that they hear? The sound of Sus and Rechev. And why does that matter so much? This has been the recurring image of all of Sefer Melachim Bet. What is Sus? If you hear Sus Varechev, who do you think?
It's fine.
Oh, so you're, okay, good, good, good. Okay, so Naomi, you're going a step back. We're going to Mitzrayim element, for sure. Kol sus rechav paro farashav echelo. But sus varechav in the immediate context, let's say in the Sefer Melachim context, you're going back to the mothership, for sure.
Eliyahu.
Right, so Eliyahu, remember, so he ascends the heavens, right? Besusayesh uverichveyesh. So the ghosts of Eliyahu are coming now to haunt Aram. So they're hearing sus varech, the chayil gadol. Okay, point number two. Point number three. Remember, we said the chazal think, I think that it's very compelling, that these mitzorayim are gechazi u'shlosh avanav. What about the conduct here suggests that? What's the observed conduct?
The
right, so they go to the camp of Aram. Seems like a rational choice in context. They check it out. They get to the first ohel. There's a lot of food there. They're starving, so they eat. We can understand that. What's the next phase in the process? Why, if you're looking at these anonymous mitzorayim, you might say, oh, that sounds like a chazi.
The money.
Right.
They're burying all the gold for themselves so that when anyone else comes, they at least will have their property where they can get it later and get rich.
There it is, right? Almost exactly the itemized list of what Gehazi took from Naaman. You see all of that returning, the Zahav, the Begadim. So, and they don't just do it once, right? They do it twice. Now, all right, you know, like Effie says, it's the money. But what makes it particularly egregious under the circumstances?
They're eating while everyone else is starving.
Right. So that's, I think, the issue is that, you know, people are literally starving to death. We know that the starvation is at levels that are as bad as it can get, right? We know that from the story of the two mothers. We know where things are in Shomron. So
he's just looking up for himself, like before.
Yeah. Right. So, and Ruthie, to that point, it's, you know, there's different moral associations. There's different madrigos that we could have in terms of looking out for ourselves. We could say, you know, person's looking out for themselves, so they cut somebody else off on the road. It wasn't very nice. But this is like, you know, aggravated looking out for yourself because, it, you know, everybody's in a situation of sakanas nefashos. So, you know, all the time spent burying gold... Excuse me, is, you know, possibly at the expense of somebody's life. So that's part of the issue too. Okay. You're probably wondering, what was he talking about when he said that this would be a redemptive moment? Okay, so to come back to it. We haven't seen it yet. So, Vayomru Yishal Reyehu. So they, then, these mitzorayim, there's a second major internal conversation they have. Lochein anachno osim. Doing the wrong thing. Hayom ez hayom besorahu. This is a day of tidings, of extraordinary tidings. V'anachnu machshim. And if we will remain silent, v'chikinu ad or haboker, and wait until the morning, u'mitza'anu avon. We will be found to be guilty. V'ata l'chu v'navo v'nagida beis hamelach. So, I don't think we could give them like the... you know, the morality award here, they seem to be thinking a little bit about the consequences for themselves, that, you know, people, you know, will hold it against them, or even worse, the portion talk about they'll be given very severe consequences because if it's discovered that they knew this and they sat on the information, you know. But be that as it may, they did have the presence of mind to recognize that this wasn't the time to be only thinking about themselves. So, as I indicated, a partially redemptive moment for Gehazi. So vayavo vayikru el shoer ha'ir. So they come to the constable who's at the gate. Vayigidu lahem lemor, banu l'machanai ram b'nei shamish. We have a story that seems fantastic to tell you. V'ko adam kim asus asur, v'chamor asur, v'olim kasher hema. So we know that you think that you're under siege and at the, you know, very, very, very end of the rope here in terms of Shomron. But believe it or not, the enemy isn't there. They left everything behind, the animals. The steam is still coming off the soup. We're telling you. So Vayikra Shorim Vayagidu Beis HaMelech Pnima. You know, when you're desperate enough, you know, willing to listen to anything, you know, they report the information. So Vayakum HaMelech Laila Vayomer Lavada Vagidan Alacham Eis Asher Lasulanu Aram Yadu Ki Re'evim Anachnu. He says, it's all a plot. They know that we're starving. So they decided to try to bait us out of the city. They know that we're desperate, that we're starving, that if they do this, we'll have to check it out. So they're trying to bait us to leave the city, and that way they're not going to have to worry about, you know, siege warfare, make it easy on themselves, and they'll enter the city without too much trouble. So Vayan Echad Me'avadav Yomer V'chuna Chamisha Min HaSusim HaNisharim. So take five horses. Asher Nisharu V'ahinam K'chol Hamon Yisrael Asher Nisharu V'ah. This is really like the last, you know, the last vestige, the last element of what we have here anyway. So again, sort of like the Mitzrayim reasons, what do we have to lose? Hinam kechol amon Yisrael asher tamu v'nishlecha v'nira. So we'll explore. So vayichu shnei rechav susim. Again, there are the horses and the chariots. Vayishlach hamelech acharei machanei aram limor l'churu. So he sends out two scouts to basically figure out if this is a baba ma'isa or it's for real. So vayichu acharei hem ad hayardein. So they go all the way to the Jordan River. And they see these people ran across the Jordan River. These people, just in their haste and their hurry, threw to the ground. And they see that they're really not there, that they went back to Aram. So they plundered the Machane Aram, which had, again, you know, endless supplies. So it happened exactly the way that Elisha predicted it would happen, that there was such supply from the Machane Aram that it brought the prices down from what we talked about last time, exorbitant prices for eating literally garbage to, you know, normal prices for actual bread. V'amelech yifkidid ha-shalish asher nishan al yado. So his aide, the one that we saw before, al-ashar, you know, because things are getting out of control, there's this mass, there's this rush, all this food, vayir musuhu ha'am bashar, and he gets stampeded to death. Vayamus kasher diber isho Elohim, asher diber beredes ha'melech ilah. So this was the individual who had said, if God would do an airlift himself, there'd be no way that this famine could end. Vayir kidaber isho Elohim ha'melech lemor, sasayim sarim b'shekel, sasolus b'shekel, yaka yismachar b'shar shamron. Vayana shalish es ish Elohim vayomer v'nei Adonai usa arubos b'ashamayim hayek hadavar hazeh vayomer incha ro'eh v'necho misham lo sochel v'hi lo chein. So now we figure out the full meaning of that. Vayir mesu osa am bashar vayamos. So the shar, again, which was really where we started, the Arban Hashim Mitzorah in Pesach HaShar, so the scene ends at the Shar, at the gate, not with the death of the Mitzorayim, as we argued is a partially redemptive moment there for Gehazi, as Gehazi finally realizes that it's sometimes important in life to think beyond oneself, but it ends for this Shalish who had been sort of blasphemous, who had denigrated Elisha, who had denigrated God and his capacities. Okay. So the last sort of theme or motif that I wanted to develop, apropos Naomi, your comment, is I think some very important language of Yitzias Mitzrayim. As we were going through it, did anybody pick up on certain Mitzrayim imagery? Certainly the Sus and the Rechav, Naomi, I agree with you, that's always a way of taking us back. What else do we find here? I think there are at least three very, very, very distinctive elements in the Psukim that call out Yitzias Mitzrayim.
Possibly the thunder and lightning or whatever that set Aram off running was similar to what was done to Mitzrayim by Yohamas. By the
Yamsuf. Okay, so I do want to mention that. So I think one of the elements of Makas Bechoros that night is right, this is all taking place at night, not yet Or HaBoker. So one of the elements is the sound. We say the Chol B'nei Yisrael lo yecharatz kelev l'shino, it's totally quiet. And in the Egyptian camp, there is this terrible screaming. Tzaka gedola b'chol aretz Mitzrayim. So that sort of auditory divergence, quiet for the Jews. Now here it's hallucinatory. It's not real. But the sound, okay? So that's number one. I agree. That jumped out at me as well.
They're on their way out. They're given the clothes and the gold and silver from the Mitzrayim. And they're able to take it.
Great. Okay. So number two, there's this huge transfer of wealth, right? This Vayinatzlu es Mitzrayim phenomenon. Okay. Very good. So all of that, and the Kesef, and the Zahav, and the Begadim, even the elements are very reminiscent. This huge, massive, unexpected transfer of wealth. Very good. What else do we have? Excellent, Ruthie. Well, right there, just to sort of hammer that point home, what word is used, Ruthie, in the context that you mentioned?
I was going to ask if you could open up the Psukim.
Oh, sorry. Okay, sure. Well, sure. Sure. So you were just pointing to this. I'll just take a look. Right. So Bayechu Achreim Hayeriyudim Vinechol Aderech Mleya Begadim VeChelim Asher Hishlichu Aram Bechov Zam.
Oh, Chipazon.
Right. Ki Bechipazon Yatzasa Meyaretz Mitzrayim. Let's do another one. Vayakom Hamelach Laila Vayomer Lavadav.
It's Paro.
Right. Literally word for word. Vayakom Paro Laila, Hu Vicholavdav is Vichol Mitzrayim, Vatihitza Akagdullah Vicholaritz Mitzrayim. Right? So this is meant to take us back there. Of course, Paro was in a completely desperate situation. Felt he had no choice but to let the Jews go. And the Melech Shomron, Yoram ben Achav, is a similar situation. Again, as they reason it out, it's the only thing to do. Eva, please, go ahead.
I don't understand. This was a camp. that was laying siege to the city, why did they have beautiful clothing and gold and silver and all that there? Wouldn't it be more weapons and things? That part I didn't understand.
It's an excellent question. It's really an excellent question. Because all of these elements seem totally superfluous to the martial purpose. I mean, you can understand why they have food.
Yeah. And change of clothing.
Right. You know, right.
Weapons.
Armies marched on their stomachs even before Napoleon said that they did. So it occurs to me that it was so that the Jews would be able to take it. There's no reason for them to have the Kesef and the Zahav. But that too is part of the deliverance. So we have this, and again, I think this is always the important point. You know, there's a lot of study of Tanakh where, you know, sometimes people are satisfied just to point out the literary connections, which is important, but sort of like, what's the theme? Why are we clearly going back to the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim, Makas Bechoros? And what's the message? So I think the message is very, very, very clear, that there's this great divine deliverance of the Jewish people from the brink of destruction, the middle of the night, where the Jews are given a great opportunity at rebirth. That totally defies nature. It's not like the Jews did anything. The camp of Aram has this mass hallucination, and the Jews are going to be saved. There's this new lease on life. Completely new. Completely new opportunity to start again. And this story is told in parallel to the story of the Shalish, Asher Nishan HaMelech Al Yado, who doubted God's ability to save the Jewish people, who said explicitly, if God were to do an airdrop, the Arubos HaShamayim Niftachu, Hayeka Davar Azeh, the message is clear. God can do whatever he wills. Therefore, this person will die, you know, graphically, Vayir Musu, because he doubted that. Isha Lokim delivers, and it's a great opportunity for rebirth. I'll add to that, that deliverance, that revival, that, if I could use a term, resuscitation, to literally bring back to life the Jewish people, of course, occurs in conjunction with the Mitzorayim. Or Nechshav Kemes, Mitzor in general is Nechshav Kemes, Kal Vachomer in this case, where they actually reason that they're going to die. And then they're given this new lease on life. And remember, like the rationalization that they went through, that those Mitzorayim went through, basically saying, well, if we stay here, we die. We go into the city, we'll die. We might as well try. The whole city then has to go through that process of rationalization where they report it back to the king, and the king says, well, you know, if we stay here, and what if we go? It's like everybody sort of has to confront this dilemma anew from the perspective of the Mitzorayim, and they're given this total rebirth, this new lease on life. Now the question is, what are they going to do with that? So this was the golden opportunity. This was the moment that Elisha had the Jewish people sort of in let's think of the primary, optimal scenario for return. They were at the total brink, and now there's really an opportunity for them to reconsider everything. They were under siege, b'matzor v'matzok, as we talked about 2 weeks ago, and now they're in a space. Mina Meitzar, Karasia, Anani Vamerchavya, everything's opened up for them until the Yarden, the city, everything. They have all the supplies they could possibly want. You know, Bechesev, Uvizahav, Uvigadim. It's like a new Yitzias Mitzrayim. This is the moment that Elisha has been building towards. Remember, Elisha gets the koach from Eliyahu in that moment where the susveish, virichveish, he gets the capacity, pishnayim beruchacha alai, he gets the capacity to bring back from the dead. He's already done it at the parochial level, at the individual level. And now he's doing it at the national level. The Jewish people were on their last legs, on the brink of starvation. Elisha says, with divine salvation, anything is possible. Kachatzos Laila, Vashem Yotzei B'Soch Mitzrayim. This iteration of that. So all eyes are on what's the next step. Does this now lead to the spiritual rejuvenation of the Jewish people? This is the physical salvation. But like, you know, we talk about in Yitzias Mitzrayim, and like I said, hopefully I'm making good on my promise here, you know, Maschel B'Gnosu Messiah B'Shevach, so part of that is Avdus L'Cheres, part of that is Mitzchilo of Devarazar Hayu Avoseinu, V'Achshav Kirvanu Amakom L'Avodah, so the physical salvation is meant to be a necessary step, but not itself the goal, a critical step in the process towards spiritual revitalization. So here, the question is, what happens next? What comes next? The Jewish people are saved, Aram disappears, the Shalish is stampeded. Everything is aligned to say divine deliverance. Okay. End of Perek Zayin.
Rabbi, the story of Shaul, when he goes to save, I can't remember the name of the city, but wasn't it Aram that wanted to poke out the people's eyes?
Close. Ammon.
Oh, it was Ammon. Okay.
Just
okay.
South. Yeah.
Okay. All right. My analogy doesn't work then. Okay. Sorry.
No problem. So from here, we're going to sort of shift gears, segue into it. Yes, Mitzrayim. So we'll talk a little bit about the Haggadah the next few weeks, as we do every year. And then when we come back, God willing, after Pesach, we'll sort of take a look at the this is really now moving into the last chapters of Elisha's story, the era of Elisha. This was the golden opportunity, you know, bringing the Jewish people the greatest possible salvation in the darkest possible, most dire straits. And then the question becomes, where does it go? Does it stop with the Kesef and the Zav and the Begadim, and now they have affordable bread, and they've beat inflation, and they have their clothes and their gold and their silver, and they can go back to their Avodah Zarah, or is there a future? And that is going to be the last drama of Elisha's life. See, well, where do we go from here? Okay, so we'll hold it up there.
I see one question.
Yes, please.
Did Israel do anything in particular to merit this?